All right, welcome to hello, Evan. Hello, Karen. Welcome to Creating Cashflow for March 3rd, 2024. Let's get to it. Okay, Evan. So you have a couple of questions. Evan is a multi-talented performing artist, but also he does technical writing for engineering firms. He's a Cashflow Tyga. And the first, well, two victories planted seeds with two other former engineering coworkers at a recent reunion about potentially outsourcing their documentation work for me. One would prefer working with me over the current technical writing contractor their company works with, and the other hadn't thought about their company's documentation needs until I brought it up in conversations, and he realized that he really does need better documentation. Woo! That's great.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that. Congratulations on that. And then you got paid recently to help your local comedy theater set up a Discord server for them. And then you're helping them with a second Discord server, and you're volunteering with some voiceover organizations to set up their Discord servers. Could setting up Discord services be another little side hustle? Absolutely. Yeah. Because all a side hustle needs to be is you offering something and requesting payment for it. So it
Right.
could certainly be like another income stream for sure. And then you can keep a side hustle like micro small. Maybe you don't even have a website. You just talk about it. You just say, oh, I can do that. And I usually charge this. That could be a side hustle. It's the offer and the payment, it's not the website and the business account. It's an offer and a payment. That is an income stream. So you can do as much with that or as little with that. But if people are asking you for it and it seems to be something that people find valuable, yeah, definitely let the word spread if
Okay.
you wanted to. And okay. So you want to create a rate structure for the work that you do that makes you feel good and your clients feel good. And you hate charging by the hour. It stresses you out. It makes you feel guilty whenever you're not being efficient enough with your work. I would much rather charge for the value and quality of my services than my time. Even if you're charging by the hour, and this is for everybody listening to this. Even if you're charging by the hour, you still want your hourly rate to reflect the value of the work. The conversation around time is what you want to shift away from. You
Okay.
want to shift away from discussing like an hour's worth of work. No. The value of what you're providing in 30 minutes or an hour or 90 minutes. You can still charge in many different ways. But part of what you're taught, I'm just splitting this in half. Part of what you are talking about, Evan, is you definitely want the conversation to shift away from hourly and
Okay.
onto the value. Because whatever you're providing for them, they are going to get to use for years and years and years, as we've discussed before.
Right.
And you now also want to have a conversation with me about, like, okay, well, I'd like the structure of my rates to not necessarily be hourly or something just a little better than that. Totally legitimate. So, one option that you're thinking is like a monthly stipend slash retainer. And that's the first thing I want to say for everybody listening. Stipend and retainer are just two different things. You can't use those words interchangeably. A
Okay.
retainer is like, I'm paying you on a regular basis to keep you focused on my business. A stipend is usually like less money than you're worth. Interns may get a stipend to cover their lunches. So stipend is, it's not even minimum wage usually. Okay, that's just a point I wanted to make. So you'd like to be have a retain you could one of the ways is you could have a retainer. But then the question is like, oh, well, how do I fairly measure and report that I'm meeting the amount of work that they're paying me for? And what is that amount of work that they're paying me for? And how do I define the scope and rate such that I can meet the needs of my client while still having flexibility and, and quality of life and self-care and for all the other stuff, the voiceover, family, friends, et cetera. So you don't feel pressured and obligated to sacrifice other aspects of my life and well-being to meet my client's needs. So you're looking for a structure that will really eliminate the guilt and the pressure about delivering. You
Exactly.
want to be happy, you want them to be happy. I think we're still also talking about two separate things here, because you eliminating the guilt and the pressure is something you can do mindset-wise for yourself. And we can talk about that.
Okay.
And then, because I think that I think that's something you're putting on yourself, because I think that it's just a numbers game for your clients. They're like, this is how much we want to spend on this documentation. In that budget, can this guy get it done for us? And then you come back and you're like, it'll be a little more. And they're like, okay. Blah, blah. So that's more just a numbers game of you being able to satisfy their needs. And then the elimination of the pressure and the obligation and the, I got to keep working on this. We want to find a way to build your business where you don't feel that structurally, but also you'll have to work it on your mind.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I think you are someone who puts a lot of pressure on yourself, and you hold yourself to a very high standard, which is amazing. But those also might be some old voices from childhood or whatever that might be able to be released now that you're an adult.
Okay.
And because you do good work, you're asking, you do. You're not asking unfair compensation for that work. And you also have other stuff going on in your life that will take time away from the work. And for everybody listening, part of that pressure and obligation is capitalism. It's the American way of wanting us all to be just productivity robots. And the place where we have control over that or influence over that is in ourselves. So you can do your best to remove that pressure from yourself because it doesn't need to be there. And it's very, very much systemic and something you've heard all your life. And school, that's all school. It's very, very the messaging we get from school. Do your best. Get A's across the board and everything. Like, just, yeah, it's okay.
I mean, I
That's my
think
little diatribe on that.
it's a, to me it feels like it's a bit of school plus like the past employers I've had a like a do whatever it takes to get the job done sort of mentality, and that I'm still
And
feeling
that's that is a systemic and white privilege. That's white. That's racist messaging. They're unconscious about it, but it is steeped into the culture of just like, go, go, by any means necessary, pressure, pressure, pressure. Let's squeeze everything we can get out of our workforce. Yeah. And I know that when I remember us, the beginning conversations we had, it was like you just wanted to get the heck away from that. And you were really concerned about getting into that again. So I definitely don't want you getting into that again. Okay, so here's the thing about retainers. And I think a retainer is probably the way you want to go.
Okay.
And this is, I'm going to suggest something, and then I want you to tell me how that would or wouldn't work in your business. Like,
Okay.
I don't know your business specifically, but what I do know of it, let's say you went to a client and said, okay, so the way to reserve space on my schedule as a client, I'll need you to reserve to pay in advance at the beginning of the month 10 hours. And what I will do, and this will be our, we'll have a list of priorities. This is what's first. This is what I'm going to work on second. This is, based on what they want. And then I'm going to send you a progress report for those when those 10 hours are up.
Okay.
Those 10 hours, you might do them in the first 2 days of the month, or you might do them in the first 2 weeks of the month, depending on the other clients you have. But they're guaranteed to get 10 hours out of you a month. Now, let's say you do it in the first week. Then you could send them a report and go, okay, so here's where I'm at. I'm finished with this. I started on this. To complete this next thing, I'm pretty much thinking it's going to be another 10 hours. Do you want me to bill you for that in this month and have me continue working? Or do you want me to stop? And those will be, that's what I'll start with in April.
Okay.
Because that allows them, first of all, to start getting an understanding of how long things take. Because
Okay.
they never know. Do this whole technical thing in like 2 hours. Nobody knows how long, especially writing and editing. Nobody knows how long it takes.
Right.
It'll give them an idea of how long it takes, and it gives them the control over the budget. If they've got some extra money to throw in March and they want it done sooner rather than later, then that's great. You'll continue working. At the end of the month, you will invoice them for, or you can either do it that way, or you could say, great, as soon as I get your deposit of another 10 hours, and you just work in these 10-hour chunks.
Okay.
How does that, do you think that would work?
I'm not sure. It's something I think I need to still reflect on how my own processes work and how I work to put together these things. Because right now, the way that I'm currently working with my client is the hourly rate. They're pretty much treating me as a part-time employee, but just under a contract rather than under a W-2 employment. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I guess it is because I'm still trying to figure out how long things take me to put together certain types of documentation and services. Because I think where mine was like, because I didn't think about tying time to the retainer as well, like 10 hours minimum and then add on top of it. My mind was wondering if something like X amount per month flat fee, and then I can work as a part-time employee over the month for that per month rate. But then I didn't know how to balance that out in terms of how much that per month rate includes.
Yeah, that is a way to do it, but I think that chances are you'll be overworking. Like, hey, I'll do it for, I'm just throwing numbers out just so we can have something to talk about. Hey, I'll do it for $1,000 every month, and then I'll just work part time. So I'll work 15 hours a week for you, or for $1,000 a week, or whatever, for 50. It's still tied to time.
Yeah.
It's so, I kind of feel like you are in, at the moment, you're in an industry where it's very, it sounds like it's difficult to kind of guess how long things are going to take. Organizers are the same way. We walk into somebody's house and they want us to, like, well, how long is doing this office going to take? And I'm like, well, I know how long it will take me if you leave me alone and I get to make all the decisions, but I'm working with you. And I don't know what emotional stuff we're going to uncover. And I don't know what other tangles we're going to uncover. So I don't know. All I can say is we can, it'll be kind of here, but we'll have to get going to really figure that out. You have to kind of trust me. And I think you're sort of saying that to your people. I think what you can say is like, well, I know it's going to take less than $20,000. Like, it's going to take between, because you could probably guess the baseline and you can probably overestimate. Like, it's definitely not going to take this many hours, but it's definitely going to take this many hours. So it's going to be somewhere between this and this. But I can, let you know how we're progressing and let you make choices of how you want to keep it going. But where am I not? Where am I missing? Where am I not filling the gap for you?
Sorry. I
Take your
think
time.
it's something that I might need to do more reflection on to determine the value of the services that I'm providing, like per, because it's still per hour. Sorry, I don't know. I don't. I'm feeling flustered right now, so.
Yeah, and that's okay. You're on the spot. Here's what I want you to think about. So write this down. The first thing when someone comes to you with a job, like, what are you doing right now for your current client? You're like writing like a manual, two manuals. Like, what are you doing?
I'm doing like several
Deliverably, like, what are you going to deliver?
templates. A lot of it is Microsoft Word templates, so like creating .dtox files that have pre-populated verbiage and tables that they can then take into their projects to customize it for specific applications. I'm helping them with standard operating procedures that are like specific static documents to write those together as that they have for internal reference. And kind of on call-ish for when they have questions about the templates that I've been working for them, like because th this agreement that I have with them, th they gave me a setup that with the company computer and everything to be on their system and their network. So I am effectively acting as if I'm like an employee, but under a contract. So does that answer the question?
It gives me a good thing to play with. So write this down. How long will the client be able to use what you're creating? How many years? How much time will be saved once the client has what you're creating for them? Templates. Technical books, instructions for things. How much money will the client save having this stuff that you're creating for them? What headaches will the client not have because they will have this stuff that you're creating for them? So when you're first, onboarding a client, like having those first discussions of like, do we want to work together? Those questions are questions you want to ask, answer for the client and have the client answer for themselves. You need to have a discussion with them around like, ah, how much headache will be, when this is when you get what you want. Oh, the time saving. Oh, the just the how much easier will communications be? How much money will this save you Another question, how much money might this make you? Because if it's easier for them to turn around like consults and personalize things for their clients, that's making them money. That's helping them close the deal. The client needs, you need to get the client real clear on the value of what you're creating and how long they're going to have this. They can use these templates probably for at least 5 years, I would think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You want them to get in their heads, wow, I pay Evan this chunk of money, and then I never have to pay anybody to do this again for 5 years. That's very important. You want them to understand that you are a fixed cost. You're not an ongoing cost. If you pay me to organize your house, you're not going to have to reorganize it if you stay in it for a good solid 3 to 5 years till your life like starts to change in some way. So this is a one-time thing for a while. When you and the client get real clear on the value, then what you are offering them as far as like, here's my rates, here's how I want you to pay me, this is how we're gonna roll, it should feel so cheap, even at your highest rate. It should just be like, this is a no-brainer. But I think your frustration at the moment is because you haven't identified the value for yourself that you bring to the table, and the
I think so.
client isn't like on board with that value. Because if they're on board with that value, they're just like, do whatever, Evan. I don't know. Just deliver it. Like, it's great. The price we're paying you, it's a bargain. Go. That's what you want. So that you're then free to do the work. And they should give you some. You guys should negotiate like deadlines, like when do you want phase one? Always break a project down into parts and then do the deadlines for the parts. And as long as you're meeting the deadline, they don't care when you're doing the work. Cram it all into a weekend, spread it over 4 weeks. Like they don't care as long as you hit the deadline and they sign off on the big chunk of money and how they're going to pay it to you. So the muscle that you're building for yourself right now, and this will help with the mindset, is your value that you bring to the table. Once you, and then you can say to them, like, as far as I can hit your deadline, like you want this technical book by April 15th. I can totally do that. I don't yet know how long that's going to take me to do it. Like how many hours I can get it done by your deadline, because a deadline and how long it's, how many hours it's going to take you are two different things. So you can say yes to the deadline 100%, but I don't know yet until I get into the project because there's this, and then you want to point out the variables because they'll want to know like, well, what are the variables? So in an organizing situation, it's like, well, I don't know how fast you work. I don't know how fast you make decisions. I don't know if we find like if plan A doesn't work, we're going to have to shift to a plan B in here. And that might just take a little like zhuzhing. And maybe if you have a partner and they share this space, well, we're going to have to do some negotiation with them as well. So you have variables like, well, if people have to give me information, there's delays sometimes in collecting that from people. If that goes smoothly, everything will go faster. You know, so I want you to make a list of what are the variables that make things take longer for you so that you can walk your client through that and go, look, I'm pretty fast, but these things can slow me down. Not your learning curve. Every job has little learning curves. You don't want to make a client pay for like a big giant learning curve. But the little learning curves are like, oh, I have to figure out, that's fine. You can charge for that kind of stuff because they don't know how to do it. They just want you to figure out how to do it. So once you're clear on what the variables are, then you can have the conversation of, look, the only thing I don't know right now is how many hours this whole thing is going to take me to do. But I will give you progress reports so that we're not going to, you have the, you can put a stop to some, you can like take things off the to-do list if you feel that your budget isn't accommodating it. Like, you have to present this as a dynamic project. And that's a really great phrase for you to use. This is a dynamic project. It's not just me in a room by myself. There's
Right.
other things involved. Here are the list of variables, but I can keep you posted and I'm aware of the budget. Yeah.
That
And
makes sense.
if there's snags, if there's something I can't anticipate, not on my end, but on your end, this could go over budget. It could take longer than either of us foresee. But my best guess is it's going to be somewhere between this many hours and this many hours. And you really want to give yourself a nice fat window.
Yeah, okay.
So does that make sense?
It is making more sense now, I
Yeah.
think. And the framing it as a dynamic project where I am continuously updating and adjusting for any variables, any unexpected variables helps a lot, 'cause I think it's the dynamic nature of the work that gets me very like anxious about how to charge it, because it's not something that's static. I can't say I'm going to make the same product every time and this is how much it costs. It's always going to be dynamic based on how much on the subject matter, if they're able to give me the subject matter, after I write it, giving it back to them to review it to make sure that I have written out the subject matter in a way that they understand and that is still technically accurate after I've translated it from their speak to technical writing speak and all that.
Right.
So, yeah.
And one of the variables on your list that you can't anticipate is how well your point person on the person giving you notes is going to be. Because some people aren't great at clearly communicating and they'll be like, oh, fix these six things. And then they'll be like, oh, and this seventh thing. Oh, and this eighth thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you're like, you know, that's a variable in every job. But for everybody listening, this. What Evan was doing was feeling pressure and then trying to fix, eliminate that pressure by fixing things on his end. Well, maybe I can price structure this so I don't feel pressure. And what is really actually necessary is a conversation upfront that manages your client's expectations, clearly paints the picture of this is how we're going to do it, this is how I roll. This is the expectations, the delivery, the deadline. Let's agree on the budget. And you're the leader. And this is how we're going to do this project. I'm
Right.
going to do this, then I get notes, then we'll do this. You're the leader. That's what they're hiring you for.
Yeah.
Regardless of like, I'm technically an employee or, but no, you're the leader of
Okay.
this project. And your job is to manage their expectations and clearly define the scope of the project. Once you have that, they'll basically leave you alone and you won't feel any pressure. And
Okay.
then they'll get scared sometimes and come back, oh, it's, and you just manage their expectations again. And that's what you have to get good at. You're already a
Right.
great technical writer, but to have a business as a technical writer, it's about having these upfront conversations and continuing to manage their expectations.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, for everybody listening, doing the thing you're doing isn't a business. Being able to manage the client and get the money you want, that's the business of it. And you could totally do this. You're going to get good at it. You have a very short learning curve on this, Evan.
Okay.
And people are going to love working with you. And you just treat it with that. You have this energy in these conversations of like, this is great. This is going to go smooth. This is fabulous. You're going to love the deliverables. You're going to love having all this stuff. It's going to be great. You're
Yeah.
just like super confident that it's all going to work out and that the amount you're charging them, total bargain.
Right. Okay.
And you don't have to talk about your time. The only thing you're talking about time is, well, I don't really know how long it's going to take, but it'll be like here and here, somewhere in between.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
Thank
so you
you.
had another question. 6 months have now passed since you entered the contract with your current client and began working with them. Given that we're halfway through our current contract, I'm thinking about having a quick check-in meeting or a lunch with your direct contact there to talk about how the working relationship is going from each of our perspectives, if there's anything we need from each other at this point, and if there are any pain points or needs that have either not been addressed or not been addressed to the extent or quality that they need. Do those topics sound good? Does it check-in make sense? I love it. I
Okay.
think that's great. They may not want it, but offering it, I think, is lovely.
Okay.
I think it will make you feel good. You know?
Yeah.
And if they say that everything is going great, believe them. I want you to be like, great. You're very good at what you do. So my hope is that you get good at not having to overperform and prove your worth and overdeliver. No, you just have to deliver.
Right.
You have to deliver in a way that allows you to do voiceover and have fun with your friends and do your other stuff and make Discord servers apparently for people. Like it all, you're going to be able to do this. This is just new territory for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
This
you,
was
Christine.
such, I mean, this is high level tiger conversation here. So I was super impressed when I got these questions, and I'm so proud of you. So proud of you.
Thank you, Christine. I
You're
appreciate
very
it.
welcome. Take care. Karen Eileen, let's talk. This is such, speaking of good questions, another really great question. I'm going to boil it down, but first, the
Yes.
victory. Paid off a credit card balloon, $9,000. Rather than any kind of like, I'm going to put it all on another credit card, you reduced it by half because of the check you got for doing that master class.
Right.
Congratulations. And this is such a great question to talk about. Basically, it boils down to, how do you celebrate with energy rather than money? Because you did this thing. You,
Yes.
first of all, you the master class was challenging and you
Yeah.
did it. And not only that, but with the gains you got, you could like pay off the credit cards. So it was like two victories here. And you're just
Yeah.
like, but the money that came in was already spent, you know,
Spoken
that
for.
already had earmarks on it. So you're just sort of left like, okay, well, I guess life just keeps being hard and going on. Like, when, but how do I actually celebrate this? Now, ladies and gentlemen, capitalism has taught us that the way we celebrate is by buying things. That is how you celebrate. That's how you know you've done something well. You buy an experience, you buy a thing. But when you are in the position where you're trying to pay down debt and you're trying to build your savings account, all that stuff, the question to ask is, how do I celebrate with energy rather than celebrate with money, like paying money? Because if you think of it, back in the olden days when people just didn't have Amazon.com, you know, but I mean, really back in the real olden days where you couldn't even get stuff quickly if you had the means to buy it. People celebrated with energy. They did things that made them feel good that didn't actually cost money. So that you're a very creative person. You can even ask in the chat here today, hey guys, how do
Okay,
you
good.
sell it? What would how would you ways
Yeah.
to celebrate without money?
Okay.
But with energy, because I think that that is what. Now, when I say with energy, it could be something that allows you to relax for a little bit, or it
Yeah.
could be something that you get to like do your energy in a way that you don't normally get to do it. Like, you know, it could be, I'm going to take a half a day to just go somewhere beautiful. I'm going to drive I'm going to pick somewhere on the map and drive there and just see it. You know, like there's so many ways to enjoy the fact that you accomplished something that don't cost money. And you can do it with somebody. You could have a Zoom party with another fellow. Like you can say to seven of your closest friends, I just fucking accomplished something huge and I need to be celebrated. So I want the funniest gifts. I want the best memes. Like, send me your thing, or everybody send me a poem that they love. Like,
Oh, that's
you
so
can
cute. I
involve
love
people
that.
or you can do it yourself. But what you really want is the feeling of acknowledgement and joy. And whether you give that to yourself and that's enough, sometimes it is. You just need to know. But sometimes you want other people to see you, and that's totally fine too. So ask, think of what you want that would delight you and ask for it.
Oh boy.
So how does that all land?
Something about the asking, people close to me to like send me like a celebratory poem or a meme or something, like I have no trouble asking for it, but that didn't occur to me. Like it just felt like I did all this work, I paid the money, back to work. Like it just felt like
Yeah,
that.
that's no fun.
No fun at all. And it's a very new, it's a rewiring to think of celebration with energy that doesn't involve any money. Like there's part of me that's fighting you. I'm like, what if it's just
Sure.
it has to be a little money, right? It has to be a tiny bit of money. It has to be a, and I'm like,
That's a very, that's how capitalism is trying to wire our brains that unless you spend money, you can't have any fun, which is a horrible synapse to form in your brain that fun costs money.
And if you don't have the money, then for me,
Yeah.
the sad
And if you
narrative
only
is
have a
like if you don't
little
have any
bit of money,
money, you can only have that much fun, or you can't have
little
any
bit of
fun. So
joy.
that's horrible. I love the idea of like
Yeah.
reaching out. I haven't.
Fuck that shit.
Fuck that
You
shit.
have to give the middle finger to capitalism. Be like, oh no, I can have this much joy for zero money.
Oh my gosh. Zero money. That's a rewiring. Like I'm gonna need to let that bathe over me for a minute. But I something about that, I'm gonna reach out. I'm gonna think about it, but that helps me a lot because I feel like it was a really big thing that I did, but I can feel that it hasn't been celebrated.
Yeah. But I think that if you pull apart these two words and treat them very differently, celebration and reward.
Oh,
Because
talk
I
to me about
think,
that, please.
well, I think what you're jonesing for is a reward.
Is that wrong, though? I mean, like,
It's not wrong, but if you're in the stage of life where you're like, I can't buy the typical rewards that I want because I'm trying to meet these other goals that will make me feel super happy in the future,
Correct.
then staying in the little system of I do something good and I get a reward. That's what school teaches us, by the way.
Gosh. The gold star. I remember the gold stars for reading books. Like that's what
Yeah.
I remember collecting all the
Yeah.
gold stars.
So a reward is more tied usually, like for this discussion, the reward is like, oh, I get to buy something now. The celebration is the acknowledgement of the awesome job you did. And rewards are something we give also to children and to pets and adults. Have more satisfying lives if they get off this little treadmill of like doing things for rewards.
Yeah, a recurring theme, no matter which beautiful gathering I come to in this village, is oh my God, it just flew right out of my head. Wow, that's how big it is. Gone. Like I was smoking a lot of pot. Gone. No idea what I was about to say. Wow.
Adulting, something around adulting, probably.
Yes, I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Celebrating yourself is, it's bigger, it's higher than a mere reward.
I'm hearing that.
Yeah.
All
Good
right.
question, because I think
Thank
that
you.
that is something that we don't really talk about all that often.
No, it's really good. And my birthday, I say I joined Cashflow like shortly before my birthday last year. My birthday's in April and it's coming up again. So I'm very much experimenting. This is year two of experimenting with how do I do my birthday and feel celebrated and give myself treats and gifts like on a zero
I'm gonna.
budget or a no.
It's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was good.
You're welcome. All right. Let's see. Oh, let me look at this. Ah, Kathleen. Hello, hello. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet
Hi.
you
I'm so
too.
glad you could join us.
Yeah, me too.
Victory report. Kathleen is an acting coach. I'm sorry I didn't introduce Karen Eileen. She is a multi-hyphenate performer who also does voiceover coaching. So sorry about that. Kathleen is an acting coach, Cashflow Cat, Victory Report, an acting agent who you don't know personally, sent one of her clients to you for coaching in a self-tape audition. Random referrals, they're like the best.
Yeah.
The best. Okay, so this is all about pricing. The first question is about how do I raise my prices for a current client, like someone who's been paying something. And so let's talk. What do you want to?
Well, I think actually my main question, I don't know what order you have there, but my main question is mainly just getting some guidance around creating packages.
Okay.
And it might, I just feels very jumbled in my head at the moment on how to do that because I think that the way that I see it currently is that I'm not offering an acting class. I'm offering, what people might see as one-off coaching, although I do have a client that comes every week, but kind of like, oh, you have an audition, so you come get coaching, as opposed to like continuous sessions to just keep yourself active, like a gym, like a private trainer at a gym, basically. So there's a little bit of mindset stuff around that, but I do think it is possible to market to people in my area. But I think I just need some guidance around what, like how to package, what the packages are, number of sessions, price. All that stuff.
And what are you really great at in terms of like what's your little secret sauce? Like, ooh, I'm so, when I get a person like this, I'm so good at helping these kind of people, or I am really able to get actors from here to here. Like, what is your thing that makes you good at what you do?
Well, I think that I'm really. I think I'm really perceptive. And so and I've also been I've done a lot of theater training. Like I've done a lot of acting training. I'm an actor. Done a lot of acting training and I've also done like I've done quite a few yoga teacher trainings and I've taught for over 10 years. So I feel as though I'm really good at putting the mind and body together and seeing what a person needs and being able to deliver it in a language that makes sense to them, a vocabulary that makes sense to them. I live in Montreal, Canada, and so I work in both French and English, and I'm fully bilingual. So I have a lot of clients coming to me. Well, a lot. I have people, a few people that come to me because they want to improve their auditioning in English or in French or so I
Yeah.
do that as well.
Great. And if you have someone new come to you, you've never worked with them before. What are the typical things that you're like scanning for where you're just like, oh, they need this and they need help with this, and oh, this is a bad habit that I can see? Like, what are the typical like little checklists you have in your head that you're looking for?
Well, it depends. Good question. That's a good question because I've had mainly new people come to me that I didn't know. I think it depends on their level of experience, but if it's a beginner or someone who's just gotten into acting, it's confidence. Like, what do they, what, like, and also, like, who are they? Like, this is for new people and experienced actors. Like, what is their kind of like, what's their gift that they can bring to the audition? So I'd like to get to know the person. Like, I always do like check-in, and like they'll end up telling me about their week, and I'm like, oh, okay, let's use that. Like, we can, you know, I don't think that we should shy away from anything when we're acting. I don't think we need to push it. I think we need to bring it in. So yeah, I think like I'm checking for who they are, what makes them unique, and also where are they holding tension? Yeah.
And do you want to work prime get primarily known as the audition coach, like for that?
Not necessarily. Like, I think the next step, and this will be another question for another time, but I'd like to start building like an on-camera acting class with a group of people, but for now I'm just focusing on the coaching, individual coaching. And it's not necessarily for auditions. Like, I have someone who comes to me to, yeah, like to just keep her going and auditioning in English, like just to get used to using the rhythm and the language. And so I want to be seen as an acting coach. I'd like to eventually do on set coaching. So it's like all around coaching, not just audition, like growth, actor growth.
And how many clients? So you have that one client, like, who wants to get better at the language part. Is that her main thing?
It's mainly, yeah, like it's mainly understanding like the rhythm in English, and working on her accent.
Okay. And then when you have somebody like that, if you're going to sell them a package, what's like the minimum amount of time you would need to have a session with them for them to like see a dent in their abilities?
Well, again, it totally depends where they're at in with their accent. It depends where they're at. What I was doing with her at the beginning is that I was choosing scenes for her, and I would bring them to her, and we would work in one session primarily on the accent and the language, and then the second section would be mainly like interpretation, like acting.
Yeah, the acting. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's two sessions, but again, it totally depends on where the person is at.
And what would your guess be on average if you're doing kind of one language, one acting, a four pack, four sessions, at least meeting with them to
Well, I
work
would say
on
I would
two?
actually like I would actually say like if it was for an audition, I would say two pack, like one session is for just working our mouths around the words and the rhythm and getting things clear and making sure it's the right pronunciation. And then the second one would be interpretation, like acting.
Okay. Okay.
But then it also depends. Like, I have someone coming in tomorrow who I've never met, and she's a Spanish speaker doing an English audition, and she's never acted, and she has three chunky scenes for a lead. Like, this is going to take more than an hour. You've never acted before. Like, you're
Right.
just
And
beginning.
did you tell her that?
I
This is
did.
gonna, what did you tell her?
I said, I'm just looking at the scenes right now, and this is probably going to take just an hour, more than an hour. And then I kind of like did the whole like, well, but it's okay. But then I was like, but you're the boss, so you decide if you want more than an hour or not. And then she said, well, we'll see how we go. So I reserved for my time. I reserved 2 hours for her.
Yeah.
So.
And do you think selling packages you're going to run into, like, do you think you'll be able to sell them because it's a bigger outlay up front for people?
I mean, that's yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I know that the woman that I coach c comes in usually twice a week, sometimes it's once a week. And she's pertaining to the other question, she's the one who I want to raise her price a little bit more, but then I'd like to maybe offer her a package. And then there's another person I'm like, they might really be interested. They're really getting into acting and loving it, but don't have like an outlet for it. So I'm like, well, maybe they might be interested in a package.
Okay.
So I feel like there is, I feel like there is a market.
Oh, there is. I just wanted to know if you, because if you work in terms of packages, you'll have a one-off session, but it's going to be much more expensive because you want to push the people into the packages
Yeah, okay.
for their own sake and for yours. But if you capitulate, and if you set it up with packages and people are like, well, I just want one, and you're like, well, and but they're like, that's really expensive, and you're like, well, that's the one, but okay, well, I'll make a deal and we'll just do one. Like, you can't do that. You have to be like, this is how it works best for you.
Okay, because
If you can,
I'm knowing myself, I would have a tendency to be like, it's okay, let's just do a one-off then for the cheapest price.
correct. Oh, we're gonna, no, they're gonna have a one-off. It's just gonna be expensive.
Yeah, I know. But then like someone comes along and they're like, could we like negotiate something? And I know myself and I'll be like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can totally negotiate. Yeah.
And what fuels that trigger in you to be like, oh, yeah. By the way, everyone does this. Everybody does this. I used to do it. Everybody does it. Ah, there's a, just this nervousness of until, and but you can get over it. And it's fantastic when you get over it.
Yeah, it must
So is
be.
it the trigger more, I really need the money? Or is the trigger more, I want this person to like me? Or is the trigger more like, oh, I want to help you?
I think it's both like I think it's both I need the money and I want this person to need me to like I yeah.
Work with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So your challenge is going to be to redirect that desire into a desire, a greater desire to build your reputation and to get known in your industry so that you are now working on sets and you are now like being sent people and you are one of the go-to coaches. But if you're down here making everybody happy, that's never going to happen because there
Yeah.
is a leadership energy that comes from building a reputation around like she can take care of you. Because that's why people refer people. Like if I'm referring somebody to Helen, I'm saying to them, she will lead you through designing this room. She'll work with you, it'll be fabulous. She can do it. I have the confidence in Helen to refer people to Helen. But if my interactions with Helen, if I wasn't seeing her confidence in her skills, then I would not feel confident in that.
Yeah.
And for other people to see you being confident, it's like, this is how I run my business. This is how I know it works best for actors. I get results with actors. They're happy when they work with me. And I'm working with, it's like, it's just this is the way it runs. And these are my prices and these are my packages. And then you hold to it and use all your energy to go find more people. Because I think sometimes they're like, oh, somebody came my way and it's too expensive, but I don't know how to find more clients. So I'll just kind of undermine my own self. And then you're not making any money anyway. You might as well be doing it for free.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, I need to just get better at marketing and build that muscle so I know I can always get some clients.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
that's sort of a digression. But I n wanted to say that it's not for everybody listening. It's not just about like, what prices should I set? It's like, what's all the mindset shit that might get in the way of you actually adhering to those prices? So it sounds to me like, because when you have packages, you want people to be able to make a decision quickly and clearly. You don't want to have 800 pack choices, too many
No.
choices. So I think that each new client you have has to buy a three pack of sessions. And there's two kind of different three packs. I don't think you need to necessarily say that on your website, but I'll tell you what I mean by that. But every new client has to go through this system. And then they have an option of buying another, like keep buying three packs, or I would do maybe four packs, and I'll tell you why. But if they want to bypass all of that, they could pay you a gob of money for an hour. So here's what I mean by the three pack, because I think with every single, the first session with a new client, and by session, let's just say an hour. The first hour with a new client is I just need to get to know you. And I need to get to know your habits. And it would be really good for us, you know, to have that discussion. And then you have 2 other hours with me. What might be good for our second hour is we work on material you're not auditioning for right now. So there's no pressure. So we can just get to know each other. We can do that, da-da. And then you have a coaching session for your next audition. Then if someone emails you, oh, I want to work with you, and you're like, great, you know, is this just purely acting, or do you have a language component? If they have a language component, the first hour, still the same. Getting to know them, see a little of their work, like suss out their bad habits, what are they doing? You know, just get to know them as a person and get to know their desires in the industry. Because the reason that that hour is super important is they bond with you because you're listening to them. You're not just like, okay, let's just do the work and then they can go to any coach in town. Oh, but now you know their whole story and now you're on their team. Because people bond with people not because of what they say, but they're listened to. So then, with the language person, you'd be the first hour we're going to do this. The second hour, we need to work on this material from a language point of view. And then the third hour, we need to work on the material from an acting point of view. So all three of those sessions are devoted to one audition, one piece of material. If the language component is there. If the language component isn't there, then it's the get to know you hour. It's the, or let's call it the bonding hour between you and me, not them. The bonding hour. Then you can suggest we could work on material where there's no pressure, and then we can work on material that you have to audition for. So now it's a three pack. And you just, when a new client comes your way, you find out, is there a language component? Okay, then this is what the sessions are for. Or you could put it on your website. Language component, no language component. But that's the thing. And then after that, you can buy four packs at this price. And I would say four because then it serves the language person who would need two for each audition. Or the person, And if a person wants to do it every week, a four pack covers like a month's worth of meeting you. So it's just nice little math, three pack,
Clean.
but they can't get the four pack until they've done the three pack. Now, if someone has worked with you before and you guys already know each other, they can start right with the four pack. So when you we're structuring something like this, so here we actually have three choices: single session, new client, three pack, four pack. So the four pack is the cheapest per session rate, per hour rate. So what is the lowest you want to charge someone to work with you? 50 an hour?
$50 an hour.
Okay, so that four pack is $200. The new client three pack needs to be more expensive because it's a one-time thing and you want them to feel like, oh, after I invest in her, boom, it drops if I want to work with her more. So what do you think the three pack should be?
Well, so I've upped my price now and I've like changed it and everything on my website to $60 an hour for new clients.
So, do you want to make that 180?
For
Or,
free.
or you can make it more. You could make it 200 or 225.
225 maybe. How much is
Okay.
that commission?
I don't know. It just,
That's
I don't know.
75. I'd sit 200.
Okay. The other thing, though, I want to mention is when you have a new client, there's a little bit of that extra onboarding time. They email you email them, you guys have to schedule. That's your time as well. We're
So
not just
much
talking
fun.
about the hour and your prep time if you are finding scenes for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of
That's,
admin that
yeah, and you want to try to reduce that as much as possible, but it's there. And one place you can recoup and get paid for some of that is in the new client session where it's a little bit more.
around. Okay, let's say
So
220.
you could do 225. So now when someone whips out their calculator and they're like, oh, I see. So it's like $75 a session, but then it drops to $50. Oh, that's really cool. So then, if they know the three pack is $75 a session, how much does it cost to work with you for a single hour? A la carte.
I'm thinking like I 80.
Five?
The little look. 85. Oof, that gives me the heart palpitations.
Yeah. Well, good. You want it to give them heart palpitations too, so they buy the package. If they're like, oh, 85, it's like, yep. Yeah, because I don't, the reason it's 85 is I don't want to work with you for
Just
just a
once,
single session.
because I don't know
I know
you.
you wish it would all get done in an hour. But it won't. It won't get done to the level you can get it done at. That's the thing. I and if you don't believe me, you should definitely experiment. You should definitely hire me for an hour and see how, because you might feel satisfied. And if you get the job, fantastic.
I have to say that all of the like pretty much everyone new that's come in the past few weeks has wanted more
Of
because
course.
they're not getting it done in an hour. It's just too much
This is
material.
what I mean. This is what I mean by leadership energy. This is how it works best. And your job is to communicate on your website and when you're talking to people, this is what you want, but it's not actually going to get you where you want to go. It's what you want, but it's not what's going to get you where you want to go. This, having worked with many, many actors, this is a better structure and it will get you where you want to go. And then you let them decide, but you paint the picture for them. You help your. You want to be a, if you're a coach, everybody, you want to be a coach from the minute someone contacts you, meaning you want to have their best interests at heart. And you want to help them make a decision, not just based on one variable, which is money. It's like your career needs to be looked at holistically, not just from this point of thing. And actors have to be taught that a career is something that requires an investment. There's just no getting around that. A few people have the luck and the connections to skip a few steps, you know? But otherwise, there's a time, and they're investing in different ways in their career. Even if you zoom ahead, your expenses are still, there's still investment to have. So you're teaching them that this is what it takes to step up to the plate and function and do their art and compete in the ring at a higher level.
And there's a lack of coaches in my town.
Great.
There, and yeah, and of all the coaches that I've heard of, I don't see this type of model. It's all one-offs.
Yeah, of course it is. Because nobody knows how to run, how to actually make money. You don't want a business that makes money. You want a business that makes a net profit. They're making money. You can make money doing one-offs, like cash comes in, but what's your profit? Yeah. And if there's not a lot of teachers and everybody's doing this thing, oh, differentiate yourself. Why not be the higher person? Somebody's got to be up there. Why not you? And you're not drastically higher, you're just a little bit higher. But for some people, that's like, oh, well, I want the best. For a lot of people, money signifies the best. Okay, so I'm going to leave you with that. And a lot of this is really about your mindset and controlling the mind that's like, it won't work. Go sell that to one, change your website and sell it to one person. Because if you can sell it to one person, you can sell it to many, many more people. It just takes one to prove. But this is completely doable. This is not out of the range and out of the ballpark. So this, though, is about you getting good at talking about why this is worth it. You can charge whatever you can communicate the value of. If you could communicate the value of $1,000 an hour, you could get paid $1,000 an hour.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah. You might not want to work with the people at the $1,000 an hour range, but you could get it if you were able to communicate the value of it to that particular clientele. Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Taryn, I saved the last 20 minutes because we are going to deep dive on this. Oh, look, I get to see you in your garden. Taryn, you get all the gold stars, all of the gold stars. This is your victory report. So, 2 weeks ago, before Valentine's Day, it was like, hey, here's the challenge. Offer a Valentine's Day portrait sort of class for couples to do on Valentine's Day as something fun. If they're into it, find a venue that you could have it at, advertise, see if you can get the butts in the seats. I'm so excited that you took on that challenge. Here's what you wrote. I survived the 2-week sprint to put together a whole event. calling the nearby businesses, securing a venue partner, making posters, telling friends, starting and posting to an Instagram page, making a web page, making a simple logo and business name, opening a checking account for future 1099 revenue from businesses and other jobs, making a sign-up form, making a survey form, making and scheduling reminder emails to go out, buying the necessary supplies with a new business credit card, and stumbling through the curriculum I made for the class and learning that I need to break the steps down to an even more granular level. Even though nothing went perfect, I want to acknowledge that I tried my best to learn as much as I could and execute on that knowledge within these past 2 weeks. The fact that it was a loss and you only got two butts in seats doesn't make this any less of a huge victory because you are a different person for having done that. And the only way we become different people and build stronger muscles is by doing it. I read this and I was so happy. And if you hadn't done it, you wouldn't have learned some things of like, ooh, okay, And we wouldn't now be able to dig into, okay, is this viable? Can we make it work? How would we restructure it? Blah, 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 blah. You took it from all theory and put it right into practice. And I'm assuming, having been there myself, having shown up to do something with three people in attendance, and I'm like, okay. I was supposed to give this whole lecture thing, and the person who was putting it on was like, oh no, it's going to be great. And I showed up, and there were two people plus the organizer of the event. And I was like, well, we're not going to have a lecture. We're going to sit in a circle, and we're going to coach, and we're going to talk, and we're going to change this into something that where everybody feels good when they leave. But it was like, oh, whoa, okay. Yeah. It's no fun. I have sold things that no one has bought. And the fact that you have now processed most of those feelings and are showing your face here today and being like, okay, how do we do this differently? How do we make this work? Is amazing. So, very good.
Thank
Very good.
you.
Yeah. So, before we dig in, do you have anything to say just about that whole thing?
You saying it finally sunk in. So thank you for saying it because, yeah, I don't think I recognized all that work because I've started the new cycle of like making classes for March and I have two scheduled at the same venue, thankfully. So I don't think I recognized it. So thank you for recognizing it.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a lot to dig in here. But I want to read something you wrote originally. So when we were talking about Valentine's Day, we were sort of talking about a price point around like $100. Somebody was like $114 for Valentine's Day and talking about like $80, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So you originally priced your offer at $100 per couple, right?
Couple.
Yeah. And then, excuse me. So you per couple Valentine's Day, the first 4 days of marketing, no signups. The second I pivoted to an individual signup class, so that's one change, and dropped the price to $15, a couple people signed up.
Yeah, actually, all 8 seats were filled up. It's just a matter of because I had an at the door ticketing like thing, I really don't think people were felt the like push to come after they reserved a spot on my Google form. So now I have an Eventbrite form, but I
That's so
think what's stopping people now that it's been 4 days too, like the first 4 days of marketing, and it's always over the weekend that I do it so that the most people are coming in just like leisurely at a leisurely pace. No one signed up, even though it's the same price because Eventbrite charges a $3 service charge. So then the ticket goes to $18. So I have a feeling that that's a barrier to entry, like the getting the ticketing issue.
When was the last time you paid for a play or a concert where there was like additional ticketing fees added on to it?
Like for me, always there's always been an extra fee.
Yeah, but like give me one. What was the last like concert or event you went to where there was extra?
I think it was a poetry reading event, that was also signed up through Eventbrite. And for Eventbrite, everybody knows that you either incur the cost as the seller or you put it on to the buyer. So I know it's always there. And they always have that little subtext there.
But you wanted to go, right?
Yeah.
And so you paid, right? Because you wanted to go. And why did you want to go?
It sounded like a good time, or I had seen them on Instagram before, so I knew already their work. So that's the other thing I wrote about wanting to talk to you about, like how to market this and how to, like, yeah, make people, there is like a little bit of an awareness boundary because like people don't know what portrait means sometimes.
Oh
So I
yeah, there's a huge awareness boundary. But
yeah, and then I also have to teach them the fact that like they're not drawing themselves because people think, oh, portrait, self-portrait, but what's different about this class is you're drawing other participants, and that takes people out of their like idea of what a portrait is. So it's like I have to do a little education work, and I was wondering, like, yeah, how can I make that more approachable marketing wise? Like, should I make reels? Should I like do carousel posts? Like, I just don't know how to communicate that without being too didactic and like too theory driven, you know? Like,
Okay. The first point I want to make is that this is a marketing, the price is a marketing issue,
okay.
not a price issue. Because if you really want to do something and you can afford to do it, then you just pay for it. You can decide, I can't afford this, want it, and you can afford it, then you pay for it. Fees, we don't like the fees. And it might be better to, I think it's a better buying experience if you include price it high enough so that you can easily pay the fees, because then people don't get that just that little reminder of like, ugh, extra. Because that way you can advertise the price. And that's the price they pay. And that is always a better experience. This is the advertised price, and it's the same price on the that's why tax sucks. 'Cause it's like, oh, I had $25 in my head and now it's plus, I forgot the tax. And it just we buy stuff all the time, but our brains are like, we don't like the extra fees. So it'll be more seamless if it's like this much money. And that's on the Eventbrite page. So that's a thought. And because it's a marketing issue, in order for this to be viable for you, because there is some overhead, because you've got to give money to the venue, you have to price it at a price point where you are making money. Or else do it for free or don't do it. You know, it's like if you're not actually making a profit from this, then it's not viable. But people often think it's a price problem. I should lower my prices. It's like, no, you should keep the prices up there and get better at marketing it. Okay.
Got it.
So, you are now you're talking about two in your questions to me. There were two things. One is these private events that you're doing, like I mean the events that you're putting on, but then you would also like to kind of sell these events to groups of people, organizations, so that you could come in and do it for their people. So, because you've got the March thing, these two your events that you're putting on. Let's talk in terms of that first. So what are you charging for them?
Same as the first event, $15 per ticket. And then the venue gets the price per ticket of like a drink, which is $6.25.
And what are the two dates in March that you have?
The 9th and the 23rd of, so both Saturdays.
Okay, and have you sold tickets for both?
Right now, yeah, they've been active for since Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday, the Eventbrite has been active. I put poster up and I did one social media post about
But
it.
have people bought tickets
No one has bought ticket yet.
for none of them?
None of them.
Good, because that means we can change it.
Yeah, the
Yeah. $15 isn't gonna get you anywhere.
price. Okay. I agree.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, here's the thing. Putting on an event and just shouting it out into the world can work if you have enough people to shout it out to. But if you want to fill the seats, either your personal group of people that you can connect with, and I'm not talking about social media, because you put a post on social media, you have no idea how many people are even seeing it. It's
Actually,
good, you're here.
in my last Palentine's class, I made a poster link to the form and I made an Instagram link to the form. And everybody signed up through the Instagram link. Only one person signed up through the post, a physical poster. So I know that people are looking at it on social media because there's this thing called cross-posting. And I post with the tea shop, and the tea shop that I'm like going hosting at, they have a bigger audience.
That's fantastic. No, social media is great, but you can't rely on it to fill all
Yeah,
the seats,
I agree.
is
And
what
I
I'm
actually
saying.
have an idea that I wanted to pitch to you. So I teach at the library, at my local library, and I pitched to them an idea of me sitting for 1 hour, maybe 2 or 3 days out of the week from like 12 to 1, a set time, and any of their patrons can sit with me for an hour and learn portraiture 1 to 1. And then I would subtly at the end of that hour say like, oh, I have a class at the end of this week, like every week at the end of that week. So then I would be spending effectively 3 hours marketing with whoever just sits down with me at the library, and then they would know. So I would be able to have that in-person time with them. And I know that I'm really good at talking with people and connecting with people one-on-one, much better than social media. So I'm totally with you on the in-person thing. But what do you think of that? Do you think that's too much of a, I don't know, shot in the dark, or like, how can I make that better?
It's very time intensive to get people to then pay you just a little bit amount of money. Like if you were selling a $500 course or something, that might be more worthwhile of that time investment. But here, and this is for everybody listening, this is the actual problem with that. No one is buying a lesson in drawing. No one's walking around a library going, you know what I need to do? I need to learn how to draw
No,
faces.
I was actually thinking of not even charging. Like, I would just sit there and then do
No,
this
no,
just
no.
to get
But I
like a
mean, your
free event.
subtle thing at the pitch you're making at the end of it, of like, I've got classes in this. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants a cl I mean, people do, but then they go to like people who like bigger, more established places. If I really want to learn to draw, I buy a book and I study. Those people who want to learn how to draw faces are like
And that's
doing.
the funny thing. I don't want my class to be about skill or technique. I wanted it to be about like socializing with people
Correct,
for
correct,
portraiture.
correct, correct, correct. What you are selling is having fun. What you are selling is a chance for people to bond. What you are really selling is recreation, not education. So you sitting in a library teaching someone something is not actually what you're selling. So, and someone that has just sat down with you for an hour and learned a few skills that they didn't know they wanted to learn, they're gonna feel satiated. They're gonna be like, well, learned a bit about that. They're not gonna want more. It's not, you're banking on it will suddenly open up a quenching, like, oh my God, I want to study, I need to do this more. The chances of that are so low. You'll make money at this. I think the biggest chance is if you find places, like we talked about last time, like social groups, singles, we have a club that, a social group. People now pay to be part of groups, all different kinds of groups that have members out there. Those groups are, if they're looking for ways to help their members meet, to help them bond, singles groups to help them fall in love, like they're looking for fun. And you are providing a very unique way to have a lot of fun, especially for introverts. It's a really great thing for introverts. It's like, don't talk, just draw the other person. And then it's a very natural way to get to know. But it's about targeting places that are looking for how do we get our members to mingle? How do we get our members to interact and have some fun? Because we've done all the other things. You're selling fun. Fun can be a little more expensive
Got it.
than drawing,
Yeah.
education. Education's a fairly cheap product. Don't need more education. And there's a lot, I mean, you can't
There's so
compete with.
many free YouTube drawing videos out there that are really good and really educational. But what I'm selling is like the chance to either meet a stranger or come with your whatever, like friend or couple, and spending that like hour to like looking at them in a different way and bonding with them. Okay, so.
Drawing, you have on your website drawing people together, which is a fantastic tagline, a fantastic tagline. It's the best. I was like, that. Don't put it in quotes. Drawing people together.
Okay.
And then the word portrait, I think you can take that out of all of this because I think you're absolutely right. People like self-portrait, and it sounds so formal, portrait. It's like drawing faces or
Yeah.
let's draw.
Yeah.
Or
Remember how
fun
I first said
faces.
friendly faces?
Yeah, fun.
There's actually like an organization about autism awareness where they also have a smiley face for their logo and it's called Friendly Faces. So I'm like, I love the name, but I'm like, I would literally be stealing this like nonprofit's name and their
No.
logo because
But
it's
I
also
think it's better for you, fun faces.
fun faces. Okay.
Because fun is what you're selling.
Got it.
And you want to lead with that. Fun
Okay.
faces, drawing people together.
Okay. I'm down for that. And then the only reason why I had like my last name in the name is because I heard or I read that you have to fill out a DBA if you work in California and your last name isn't in the title of your whatever your service is. So would it be worth filling out a DBA that's like fun faces? For example, like the reason why
I
a lot
know.
of, you know what I mean, right?
I know what a DBA is. I had one once upon a time because I
Doing
needed it for
business
some
ads,
reason.
so and so, if you're not using your real last name in the name of your business.
I mean, I would check into that. I would check in to see if you really need to have a DBA.
It's some, it just, I looked into like the business registration in LA, California, and DBAs came up as like a thing. I know a lot of people, don't do it and they don't get in trouble, but like I was just wondering if that's actually like a risk, if I, yeah, so sell this service. I guess if I just don't call the business fun faces and my service is fun faces, I don't know. I don't know what the like the gray area is around that.
I don't know either. So I don't want to be like, don't worry about it. But I never worried about it. I
Because
mean,
you use your name, Christine Aller, right, as your like
yeah.
business team.
But when I was organizing, it was personalized organization.
Okay, well, I'll just, cross my fingers that it's not a big issue because everybody else seems to be doing it.
You know what I'd look into? What's the fine that you'd get fined if you were found out that you didn't have a DBA? Like what, because the odds are low that you're ever going to face any kind of consequence.
Yeah, it's pretty much only if like someone tries to like sue you or something and then not using your real name. Like the I get why they have it so that like if so that if like a business charges you and they don't have anything under their name other than their fake name, then like you wouldn't be able to persecute like prosecute persecute prosecute them. So I'll
But
look
like,
into that.
I would just have your business be Taryn Lee.
Okay.
And this is the Fun Faces offering that you have.
Okay. I mean, it exists on my personal website anyway, so really the only thing that would be changing is the Instagram handle name.
Trust me, there are so many coaches that have their websites, their names, and they have a bunch of different offerings that they have, like you first, and
Oh, okay.
the package, like, and it comes and they go. They could not have a DBAs and things for all of those things. It's just their business
Got it.
and then the stuff.
Got it.
This is just an offering. Okay, so I just want to say to everybody else, we are over time, so if you need to go, that is our time for today. I'm just going to wrap it up with Taryn a little bit. So I think what I would do, my suggestion would be keep the March 23rd date. But let's at least make it $35 per person,
Okay.
and include the Eventbrite fee in that.
Okay.
And how many people can the room handle?
Up, I mean, I can handle like 20.
Okay, so the
Comfortably,
goal.
I would be comfortable with like 15 max or 16 max.
16. Okay, so 16. So that's
Yes.
the goal. You now have 20 days, $35 per person, fun faces, drawing people together. And on your website and in your Instagram, it is about that first paragraph. Do you crave more raw human interaction? It's sort of like, if you've been looking, you need to come to this event. If you're in LA and you've been looking for new friends, or you work remotely and you just are craving some human interaction, or like make a list of five types, or you're an introvert and you want a low-key way to socialize, a low-pressure way to socialize, an easy, calm way to socialize. That would get my attention because I'm an introvert. I'm like, oh, socializing. So five of those are, if you're this, because what you want is someone to go, oh, that's me. I work remotely and I would love to have some human interaction. If this was happening in Karen Eileen's town, she'd be all over this because she is looking for ways to interact with people. And in her town that she lives in right now, it's just, oh, it's like a desert. So it's like, but if she read something like that, it would get her attention. You
Okay,
want to
so
have.
the sizzle on my site is good, question mark, or should I like make it more
It's
specific?
good. You just want it more sizzly.
Got it. So more specific.
And yes, and I would actually not have the photo of those three pieces of art with the faces.
Okay.
I would not actually show any. I would not have the last one either, the one with the red line drawing of the girl's face. I love, love, love the pictures. The two other pictures of people sitting around drawing is fine.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. Someone could see the actual artwork and go, oh my God, if I draw like that, that would be so embarrassing to show my picture.
Yeah,
Like,
definitely.
or I can draw better than that. Pfft, I don't need, like, you, that's not the point.
Yeah, the end product is not the point. So I totally agree. I'll take those off.
And the how it works, no one cares.
Okay.
All they want to know is, we're going to sit in a lovely, warm environment. You're going to be paired with someone, and I'm going to teach you how to draw their face. That's all I need to know. Lovely environment, comfortable. Bring a drink, buy a drink. Everything is going to be provided, and I am going to teach you how to draw. And you'll be paired with someone, and I will teach you how to draw their face. That sounds amazing. And if you
Okay.
come with someone, you guys can be paired together, because that's going to be a question. So answer it on the website. You can be
Okay.
paired together, or we can mix you with someone else.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's
Everything
it about how it works.
very
And
clarified.
then the sharing is caring. No, don't need that. And then I would almost, you need a page on your website for the event, the
Okay.
group event, so you can just talk about the event. Here's the buy button. Here's where you sign up. Blah, blah, blah. No refunds. And then another page that you can build later for that speaks to the person who's looking for something like this for their company or group. Because those are
Okay.
two different audiences. You selling an event to individual people like you're doing in March, talking to them differently than, hey, I do this for organizations and groups and blah, blah, blah. And here's how we roll. Because there's a different set of questions you kind of have to answer for that.
Got it. So eventually having two dedicated pages, one
Yep.
for individuals, one for businesses. That makes complete sense to me. And I already have like a poster set up for businesses, so that would be really easy to just add that web page. Do you think that eventually I should take off some of like the other parts of my artist web page that take away from the events, or is it okay to just kind
I
of
think
keep
it's fine.
all that? Okay.
No, I want them to like poke around who they can read your about section. I think it's great.
Okay, sounds
Yeah.
good.
And so on your social media, in your marketing, remember, I want you to have those five different kinds of people. Are you an introvert? Are you a remote? And, of course, somebody can be an introvert and work remotely. So, but I want you to have five, because then what you do is you talk to each of those people.
Yeah.
Oh my God, remote work. It's like, it's great because you have this flexible schedule, but not if you miss just meeting someone randomly in the office and da da da. You talk to them about the pain so that you can then go, I've got a great solution for that pain. It's this. Come do this.
Yeah.
Hey, introverts, talking to you right now. I know it the thought of, getting up and going out of your apartment and going to some social event that everyone tells you is good for your soul. And then you feel this, and then you feel this, and then you're hanging out, by the food table and just praying someone will talk to you. Like all the things that an introvert, what you want to do in your marketing is speak to all the reasons why someone would go, oh no, I don't know how to draw. So talk, first of all, talk to the individual five people. I know, but you should do this. I know, but you should do this. Oh, I know you're feeling this. You should do this. Then the other set of social media, one by one, speak to all the objections. Oh, but I don't know how to draw. Oh, I don't know if I'm good at this. Oh, I don't, you're like, don't worry, I'll teach you. Dup, up, up, a do. Oh, other people have said this is this and fun, it'll be great. And we're all just playing here, like make them, you want them to feel relaxed, you want them to feel excited, you want them to feel like this is going to be fun. And remember how much you loved to draw when you were a kid, and no one was critiquing your work. No one was expecting you to be hung in an art gallery. Let's get back to that. It's good for the soul. That's you're speaking to their emotions, you're speaking to their fears, you're speaking to their concerns, you're speaking to their objections.
Got it. I love it. I love it.
Awesome.
Okay.
So now you're going to do all of this again. You're going to fix the things that you were like, wait, well, that didn't work, and I needed this. And then you're going to have another event in March, and then you're going to come back, and we're going to see what worked and didn't work. And we're going to shine this up again and talk more about how to get the corporate people or the groups.
That sounds great to me. I will
Awesome.
cancel that first event on the 9th, and so I can regroup, film the reels I need to film, fix the website, and just
And
re-review.
the reels are not about art. Remember, you're
Yeah,
not teaching
not at
anybody
all.
art, showing any art. You're talking about fun and why it's important for these five types of people to come out and have this experience because our children still desire to have fun and draw and make sure people know, like, no critiques, like, it's no expectations. This is about the experience of it with other people. Okay, I've got to go. That was great. Hi,
Thank you
Crickets.
so
I feel it's fine.
much.
You're welcome, Taryn. See you guys
I just
next
wanted to
time.
say
Bye,
real
Evan.
quickly,
Yes.
I had a hard time logging on today because
Oh.
I didn't see the link on the web page.
Yeah, it was there was a some shenanigans. It was invisible. You had to hover over it and it turned red, but it was vanished. It was very
Oh,
weird. Yeah.
I will bring,
Yes.
I thank you for
Yeah.
telling me
And
that. I
I
will.
took a picture and I sent it to the info at Abundance Bound. I just replied to the last email y'all sent today.
I will let Miata know. Yeah, I'll go
Thank
straight
you,
to the top.
Christine.
Thank you. Good to see
Thank
you
you
guys.
so
Thank you so
much. Bye,
much.
everybody.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Take care.